lumbering along, wearied by somehow going on, puzzled that it hasn't failed catastrophically already, that I've not yet become slops on the ground or ash in an urn. Going from A to B, attacked from all sides, air, sound, light, routine, not to forget regularly pouring rubbish into my mouth hole at the slightest pang of hunger. Not hunger, boredom. Because I'm equally bored and terrified by living. And anyway, knowing even if I could afford the leaves and whole grains that are so damn essential to us, that they come from a different area in the same putrid petri dish, and that I could be bludgeoned by friend or foe, whether my diet consisted of hydrogenated fats or leafy greens. Binging to escape, fasting to purge, purging to escape binging. Terrified how it might end. Long and drawn out, short and snappy, wailing like a child or locked within, unable to scream. And would you like help packing, madam? Oh yes, why not, thank you. I pile the shopping in the boot and head back inside to have a coffee, knowing the rest of the day just involves going home to unpack. Well, unpack, move things around a little, warm half a ton of soup, shut the curtains at 4, then tap my fingers until bed. Lucky if I manage to stay up beyond 7. The elevator takes me up a floor. Opening to a landing holding a few circular tables with 2 or 3 seats by each one, pendant lamps dangling above, swaying with the air conditioning. Most of them are stacked with trays, crammed empty cups, sandwich crusts, some bitten twice and abandoned. Millionaire shortbread crumbs, wet wipes, untouched napkins, cream baths for mince pies, tea bags squeezed until they split. A decaf Americano with some warm milk, I'm asked as I approach the service hatch. It's disembodied, the voice. Similar to the one in my head, the one that doesn't recognize itself in the mirror, but remembers previous reflections, that at the time it didn't recognize either, but has become convinced, in the face of this fresh image, should now gawk back. I clear a space on one of the tables by adding to the mess on another, sitting down with my cup, saucer, and miniature teapot filled with lukewarm water. I'd forgotten my wallet, no doubt packing it in one of the grocery bags currently resting in the car, but managed to persuade them to allow me use of their dishes along with warmed water for free, to at least go through the motions of civility ritualized in tea drinking. Play-acting adult ceremonies as my grandchildren do. carefully sipping as though I could be burnt. I look through the landing's glass panels mounted beneath the handrail, daydreaming. Limbo. Still desperately intoxicating its ghosts within the mirage. No one in the cafe but me. Everyone at the supermarket's bar but the bar staff, gathering in the staff area visible from my elevated vantage. They play Subutio. The snowstorm rolled hard and fast over the car park tundra, veiling the ground and driving even the hardiest shopper indoors. I pressed against the tide of people as I left again. The keys slipped, skimming a short distance away from me. Shuffling forward, then leaning over to pick them up, I stilled my arc a moment. My gloved hand against the translucent sheet of ice fashioned by the marauding band of children I'd seen from the landing 20 or so minutes ago. So that's what half an hour of constant snow angel flapping can do. I'd imagined tarmac would have been at that depth. It seemed impossible my car and the ones around it remained above the drifts. Before pocketing them, I nestled the keys against my chest, idly rubbing at the ice where they'd been, one hand resting on my walking frame as I crouched, my thick gloves shielding me from the harsh bite of the cold. I glimpsed a face beginning to emerge, pale and serene, with features too animated for a corpse. Eyes blinking, tongue licking from the other side of the surface to meet my hand. Dig me out. Gasping freedom, the voice, deep and gravelly, rasped on. And I'll furnish you with a family. Ah, this time of year formerly filled with promise, but the carefully plumbed traditions gummed up with sticky blobbing memories belching the stench of ordure out of the brain pipes. My own childhood, priming years, distinct but burnishing those early few that followed with just my husband. So glorious, the warmest of my whole life. Then children came, the flame briefly flickering as bright as when I had been their age myself. But the laboring, the expectation weighing down each additional year, all working towards their teenage malaise. Vacuous traditions punctuated with random, unsuccessful attempts at novelty until the occasional visits that marked their 20s in various couplings became more sporadic and haphazard, half-hearted, an obligation as they had their own ideas, made distinct festivities with their chosen family. Each new partner mushing, clashing, but with some new inflections. And then the two of us again, reduced to just me, to now. A family? The old one or a new one? Do I want that? Did that done it? This offer from the ice felt threatening, not even that, a chore. After the years of settling into a rhythm which required no accompaniment. The joy is how empty it is, really empty, clear. I stood up, the eyes looking towards me redolent of compassion. It only took a short while to drag some snow over the face and lightly compress each layer with my foot, slowly building it up to a small icy mound. Opening the boot, I pulled out a carrot and some dates, along with a handful of raisins from my shopping, returning to mount them on the heap. Key turning deliciously in the ignition, the engine purred as I reversed back. To wake up from a dream, one must recognize dreaming. A dream constantly asks the dreamer to notice its qualities, to see dreaming. Look, you are dreaming. This is a dream. If we do see the dream as dreamt, we don't usually bring that back with us. If we remember, we might say, that was strange. I realized I was dreaming. I woke up before I woke up. And we leave it there, not realizing what has been shown to us. The porch light flickers, reminding me of what was left off the list. Or is it asking me something? I pull the house key from the vegetable bag, its teeth catch the side, slicing through. Potatoes spill from the wound, sprouts bouncing away with them, scattering around me, moving to the step's edge. Rolling away.